For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour three already of the G-Bag Nation, nearing the halfway point on this five-hour journey. Top 10 at 420 coming up here in about 20 minutes. And so much more college football here on tap. Of course, big day of news for the Rangers, and it's a Mavs game night. We'll hit that and more coming up in the Expressway at 5:20. Right now, it's time for the Chief. Here he is, Eric.
Okay, so Dak described this team in three words on the sidelines yesterday. The lip readers caught it. The cameras caught it. No one is disagreeing with it. I don't even believe anybody's upset by it. It just is the fact of the matter. We bleeping suck is the way he described this football team, and it is the truest thing he's probably said at least all weekend long.
Yeah.
And so I'm just curious if the Tolos would like to describe this Cowboys team in three words as well.
Man, there's some great text coming in.
There is. I was going to go with dog S masterpiece. Masterpiece of dog ass that we heard from an NBA coach a couple of years ago, which is a great description of his own team. But that would be a couple of extra, because dog ass is two words still, right? Dog ass is,
I think so.
Yeah. Still two words.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go a dog ass masterpiece to describe it. We have 972 cluster bleep bleep. We have we bleeping suck. We have Texas JV team from the 512. Trash Money Records from the 903.
I like it.
Straight Booty Cheeks, 682. 817 calls him the Three Ring Circus.
That's pretty good.
You like that one?
It's pretty good.
I got Pure Fool's Gold.
Ooh.
And Shoot No Boy.
Shoot No Boy. 877-881-1053. I believe we had our guy Mark Bristow on Twitter say fan killing franchise. And No Ruiz on Twitter says, I'm not surprised. And I think that goes for a lot of us. I mean, I am surprised that it's this bad right now. And I think the injuries have certainly compounded all the problems that they had coming in. And you couldn't totally foresee that. So it is worse than I anticipated. But we all knew this was going to be a take a step back or two season. But it's been a step back, like four or five steps back is really what it's ended up being.
Yeah, massive step back, man. I mean, I'll be the first to say I was dead wrong about this team. You know, I thought while they had lost something, they weren't going to lose everything and look like, you know, a team that can only beat the absolute worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, it's way worse than I anticipated. I mean, I was thinking maybe 9-8, somewhere around there. Could you possibly sneak into the playoffs as like a 7-seed, 6-seed? Didn't think they'd win the division, but I didn't think they'd be looking at a top 10 pick, which is kind of the direction they're heading right now.
Kind of felt like their defensive coordinator would button things up, then got that done at all this year.
I like, to use a Jerry-ism, crippled Cricket's ass, you know? I believe one day with Sean and RJ, he said he was feeling lower than a crippled Cricket's ass.
Yeah.
I thought that was epic.
Maybe he'll run that one back with them tomorrow. You know, he does like to dip back into the bag of things from
30 years
yesteryears.
I wonder what he said to the team yesterday. He gave a passionate speech, apparently, to the team after the game.
Oh, that was a don't feel too bad. We're Cowboys. Let's have a good week of practice. You know, life's good. We got to get together and put on a good show for the rest of these fans who are still watching the rest of the season. I think that type of stuff.
America's laughing stock from the 704.
America's laughing stock.
682 straight dookie shoot. Strong. I'm not going to read the pimpled butt from the 214.
Do you think they get flexed if things continue to be bad?
I mean, we did just get another flexing today. Chargers Bengals are now going to be on Sunday Night Football in Week 11, so they're taking out Jets and the Colts. But I don't know. I mean, Monday Night Football is definitely going to want them for one game. So you've got them twice. Like, maybe Houston and Cincy are your two Monday night. Maybe that game against Tampa Bay gets flexed on Sunday night football. That might be the one.
I think so.
Yeah. I have the perfect three words, possibly. Jared's couch chart. You know, if you want to describe the Cowboys, doesn't
Jerry's,
that kind of
Jerry's couch chart?
Jerry's couch chart. Ooh, I like it. I think you could write some headlines.
That's doing a disservice, though, because this is a full-on essing of the pants. This isn't even a chart. This has graduated to an uncontrollable, lava-esque, falling-out diarrhea style. That's what this is. But I do like that.
Yeah.
Jerry's couch chart is pretty strong. All right, from one disgusting football team to another, I take you to Chicago, where the Bears lose once again, actually in Arizona yesterday. The Cardinals starting to come alive a little bit. Uh-oh, that NFC West is no joke, boys.
5-4, right?
Yeah, man, they're sitting pretty strong right now. But the Bears are on the opposite end of the spectrum. Things are falling apart. A lot of people thought the Dennis Allen news that we got today, being fired from the Saints, they thought it was going to be the Matt Eberflus news, being fired from the Bears.
Probably just a matter of time.
For sure, for sure.
He might be the next one to go.
I think DJ Moore was asked on Chicago radio this morning, like, has the team given up on the coach or something like that? And he's like, well, I can't say no. So that was the response. DJ Moore also at one point in the middle of a play while Caleb Williams is scrambling for his life, he just decided to step out of bounds and just in the middle of the play, DJ Moore gave
up
and just walked to the bench while Caleb Williams is now scrambling for his life and has one less receiver to try and throw to on the run.
And then down 20, Caleb Williams gets hurt on the final play. And then today he's asked about it, like, why were you still in the game? He's like, not my decision.
I was going to pull a DJ Moore, but as a quarterback, you know, I
can't do that. I saw it happen to Anthony Richardson. Yeah, I can't tap out.
Pretty threatening.
Well, Matt Eberflus is he's a laughingstock right now. The Bears have never won a road game on a Sunday with Matt Eberflus. They're 3-18 on the road overall in his time there as head coach, but I guess they've all happened on either a Monday night or a Thursday night. He's 0-18 road Sunday games as the Bears head coach. And I believe he teased us with what was the single worst halftime speech ever given. This is him coming out of the half after his defense just gave up like a 50-yard touchdown run with 5 seconds to go in the half. And everything is down bad. And then he meets with the sideline reporter going into the second half. And this was their interaction.
Coach, after the way that first half ended, what was your message in the locker room to your guys?
I told them that, hey, this is what the score is, and we have each other. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to execute on offense, defense, and kicking, and we're going to go out here and compete in the second half.
Coach, thank you.
So this is what the score is, but we have each other.
We got each other.
Yes, we do.
Let's have fun and play together.
It's like until a Sonny and Cher song.
Until, of course, DJ Moore walks off the field and you know he no longer has you.
You know, while we laugh at the misfortune of the Bears, Brian, I do, you know, remember Matt Eberflus, cats meow when he left as the Cowboys linebackers coach, toast of the league with the Colts.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a guy that we should probably have on our radar for DC.
Oh, this is a Dan Quinn. This is kind of one of those Dan Quinn things where a guy, you know, leaves an organization and it's probably a much better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach.
It's a damn good DC.
Yeah. He's done a pretty solid job everywhere he's been as far as those things. And you do have some familiarity with him, which will probably help, you know, but I'll be interested to see who the Joneses interview as their next head coach, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, would Matt Eberflus even have a chance?
They might hire him and then hire their head coach.
And by who they interview, you mean like the one or two guys that they will interview?
Gosh, I hope not. If that's the case, I mean, I that really is a Cowboy fan, you've got to hope that this search is exhaustive. That it's not just, hey, we're going to interview, satisfy Rooney Rule, and then find a way to, you know, maybe talk to one or two other guys. I don't think that's the best way to do it.
We did get a Titans victory yesterday, much to the demise of Zach Wolchuk. It was an overtime thriller. I'm sure you were you were riding that roller coaster there, hoping for a Drake May victory. But the Titans end up getting the dub in overtime, 20-17. Listen to head coach of the Titans, Brian Callahan, and just how important this win was for him.
Just how badly did you guys need this today?
I mean, look at me. I needed it bad, man. It was, we needed it. emotional.
You can hear him getting choked up there as his team advances to 2-6 on the season. And I believe that would have been Walchuk at the podium yesterday as well.
After that crazy play to force overtime, I was like, needed it, man, needed it. But unfortunately, didn't go the Pats' way. They're the first team this year to win a game after losing to the Lions. That streak was broken.
Oh, man. Ooh,
and of course, it's when I take him on Survivor.
Felt like that was going to be a forever streak, Walchuk.
The Survivor curse, man.
You had your wits about you. You should have just gone with your Thursday night gut.
Should have gone with the Jets. I know.
Thursday night gut.
I regret it.
All right, well, let's close it down to put a smile on all of our faces. We go to the YouTube channel of John Gruden, who I saw this over the weekend. This was, remember, last Sunday was National Tight Ends Day. George Kittle had his way versus our Cowboys, but a lot of tight ends had a big day on National Tight Ends Day.
It did.
Listen to John Gruden just, once again, at the height of football pleasure.
I love to have a good day. Memorial Day, Labor Day, Valentine's Day. I love to see a tight end have a great day on Tight End Day. It's got me feeling really nice. Like last week when Travis Kelce went for 10 catches, 90 yards and a touchdown. And he did it to my Raiders again. Knock on you, Kelce. George Kittle, San Francisco 49ers. 6 catches, 128 yards and a touchdown.
Got me feeling nicey.
This guy's a complete terror. A heartbreaker. I love you. Trey McBride, Arizona Cardinals, 9 catches, 124 yards.
Do it up.
Who runs a better corner route than Trey McBride?
Nobody.
And Adam Troutman, Denver Broncos. He went to the University of Dayton where I went. 4 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown.
Both Dayton Flyers.
Did you see the one-handed snag for 6? Wow.
I saw it, baby. I saw it. There he is, the legend John Gruden, itching to get back into the league.
Thank you, Chia Fala. We'll have more of that gold coming up. Football's finest, and now just 45 minutes. I love the 4-6-9. He finishes it with 3 words, Prime's next job. How about that? That'd be a hell of a storyline. Top 10 at 4:20 coming up next. We'll check.
Yeah, it was National Sandwich Day yesterday. I've got the top 10 best sandwiches created in the great United States of America. That's next.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy. Time for Wolchuk's Top 10 of 4:20. Segment is brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. We have the sandwich talk here in just a moment. What's your go-to sandwich? 877-881-1053. Celebrated National Sandwich Day yesterday. I'll have the top 10 best sandwiches invented in America.
I didn't let the Cowboys ruin National Sandwich Day for me.
You shouldn't have.
I still punished all the sandwiches, and it was a glorious afternoon.
How many concessions did you have at the Mavs game yesterday?
Big shout out to Zavala's, because they do it right.
They do.
And I may have had a brisket sandwich.
Mm. And brisket sandwich.
Ooh.
Might be up
and
there.
And nachos.
Nice.
Wow. Might have done the triple threat.
Wow.
That's big time considering we started our first ever G-Bag weight loss competition on Friday.
I'm about to pass out as we sit right here now.
True. That's why I'm doing the Hail Mary Monday fast, you know, to just make up for all the sinning I did over the weekend.
Was he talking if I could just sleep tonight without eating here?
Might pound some NyQuil when I get home just so I can get to sleep.
Yeah.
And then, boom, I didn't eat today. It's awesome.
Boy, I feel really light today.
Because as the sun goes down, it becomes harder and harder to keep food out of your mouth. There's something about 8 o'clock, 9
it
o'clock,
does. Yeah,
10
the,
o'clock.
The nighttime munchies are the real deal. Jeez. That's always the temptation. Now, I guess Tom Brady couldn't fight the temptation of criticizing the referees yesterday. But it's also kind of the job when you're on a broadcast. And Brian Branch got ejected during the Packers and Lions game.
Did he have a penalty before?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't. We were talking about this, and I thought it was a little bit of a weekend. You asked me that question. I was like, I don't know, Brian. I'm here doing a post-game show with you. I have no idea what's happening in this game.
Oh, no. I just wondered if he'd had a previous penalty where he'd been fined, and they said, you've had enough.
No, not in this situation. Now, he did what looked to be, I mean, it was essentially a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Yeah.
Very clearly.
They end up, and that's fine. Like, go ahead and, you know, penalize him. Absolutely deserved a penalty, but he gets ejected. Here was the exchange on the Fox broadcast, and this is what Brady said that could result in a potential punishment because of all the rules. Since he's now a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, he's not allowed to make a statement like this. But this is how small it was. You tell me if you think this deserves punishment.
So they just threw out Brian Branch, who's one of their best defensive players, and that came from New York. Wow! So, Dean, we got to bring you in on this one. I know New York has the ability to do that, but what's the thought process here?
Exactly. So the officials on the field, now we have more flags. Looks like Branch did something as he was leaving the field.
Yeah.
The officials called the foul. They can decide to eject. This happened so late. This had to come from New York. They're looking at it. They decided that the hit raised to the level of a disqualification.
I don't love that call at all. I mean, obviously it's a penalty, but to me, that has to be serious intent in a game like this.
That's all Brady said. And now the league might punish him for it. This is another reason why, bye-bye, radio booth man Tom Brady. He can't do it.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do his job if this is what the NFL is going to be doing every single week based on what he says. You can't not criticize the players and the officials while you're broadcasting a game. It's borderline impossible. So if something that small is going to get the NFL involved here to where they might go ahead and reprimand him in some way. It's like, dude, you need to get him out of the booth. Put Greg Olson back there. He's better anyway.
Well, he is kind of a representative of owners, which is going to continue to put him in a weird spot because of their war against the concussion narrative that they're callous or they're not caring. You know, what the NFL is most worried about is future lawsuits that could rake in untold billions and billions of dollars. You know, at one point it was the biggest threat to their future. And they've done a tremendous job recovering from that, I'd say, over the last 10 years by having really the most buttoned up possible approach to anything concussion related. What is this? We have a member of ownership in the booth saying, I don't see anything wrong with that hit. That is something a lawyer would have a field day with. So I think the NFL is rightfully paranoid about the concussions. And that was a hit with a lot of intent. I think Tom Brady can't be in the booth anymore because he's an idiot for that statement. You know, like the most clear helmet to helmet. He put his crown in the face mask. He's like, I don't like this call, Jim. Get the hell out of here, Tom. You're the GOAT quarterback. You're maybe bottom of the list right now of analysts.
Yeah, it's not. He's been struggling. It's been rough to listen to. Listening to Greg yesterday. Not that, you know, you shouldn't really listen to the TV. Just listen to 105 through the fan right here. But Greg was way better. Way better.
Yeah.
I didn't say that, though, because I don't want to get fired. Apparently, if you criticize Tom.
Oh, that's bad.
You might get fired. Last thing here.
Signed your paychecks.
That's true. Last thing before we get into the top 10. Bengals Joe Burrow, 5 touchdowns yesterday. They went 41-24. They put a 40 burger up on the Raiders. Now, the Raiders didn't fire their defensive coordinator today. They did fire their offensive coordinator today, though.
And a bunch of others.
Luke Getsy should have been fired the day they hired him.
It was a bad hire. This was Joe Burrow post-game on his thoughts of what he wants to happen the rest of the season.
If we don't score a touchdown on a drive, I'm not going to be very happy for the rest of the year. I think that's our standard. We have to play the game that way. We have to expect that out of ourselves and live up to that.
Watch out. He's got the eye of the tiger, baby. The eye of the Bengal tiger.
That's the easy one right there. That's an easy payoff, Wolchuk. Just do the Joe Burrow. Dye that beautiful head of hair.
Do the Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll talk to the wife about that. She's probably going to say, no, thank you. I'm good. I don't want you to go blonde.
It'd be quite a two-tone.
It'd be weird. I don't think that would look good.
Oh, couldn't disagree more.
You think it would? I could pull it off?
Dude, with the contrast of that dark, thick, gnarly beard you got.
Ooh, okay. I shouldn't dye the beard, too.
Well, if you want to go Dayball, you want to do the Dayball.
No, I don't want to go full Dayball. Nobody wants to go full Dayball. All right, let's get to the top 10 best sandwiches invented in the United States of America. 877-881-1053. What is your go-to sandwich? As we had National Sandwich Day yesterday, any sandwich from Jimmy's Food Store in Dallas, says the 214.
Jimmy's.
Cat's Deli is the GOAT. The pastrami sandwich in New York City.
It's pretty impressive.
The Monte Cristo from Cheddar's is fire. Very underrated. Adam and Arlington.
It's a good sandwich.
The best sandwich is the one The Mrs. Provides 817. It's a good text.
I do think any good sandwich,
the homemade sando,
starts with being handcrafted by a beautiful woman.
Would that be the open face roast beef sando?
I think so. Yeah. I think absolutely.
The number 12 beef curtain on the menu.
Hey, maybe you get the number 40. Who knows?
Extra au jus.
Roast beef, ham, provolone with mustard, mayo, and onion from the 817. PB&J number 1, not close, from the 940. A number 11 from Dino's Subs in Arlington with the works, mustard and Dino's dressing. And then the 214 is giving Schlotzky's some love because they love their bread. Shout out to Schlotzky's.
My wife laments the loss of Quiznos.
Oh, that was good.
It is a bummer.
They were toasted.
Quiznos was good.
They were innovators.
Yeah. And it ticks me off because Quiznos is a bit of a blind spot for me.
Really?
I was running into Subway way too often. That's one of my biggest life regrets. I know I've talked about it with you guys.
I'm a huge fan of Jersey Mike's, of course, and I think they might have the best cheesesteak. I'm on a mission to find one better. I haven't yet.
No, their Philly cheesesteak's outstanding. I like the spicy one personally when they put the spicy mayo on there, but to each their own. Mm-hmm. If you don't want the spicy, the regular's also outstanding. Lucius, sandwich talk?
Big dog. Let's see. I like a club. I'm a classic club sandwich.
Never go wrong.
You know, turkey, bacon, cheese, tomatoes, a lettuce, whole lot of mayo. Lately, I've been toasting it and putting avocados on that joint.
Ooh, California dude. Club.
Avocado and mayo. Avocado and bacon combination is crazy.
It's good. Toasting that sandwich really levels up just about any sandwich.
It does. It does.
A little char on there. Pulls out a little extra flavor.
214 says, please try Sarah's Deli in Irving. Please, in all caps.
Whoa, okay.
All right.
Bet. If that's somebody from Sarah's, we're all interested. Just sandwiches over would be great.
Sarah.
817 says it's not Dino's, it's Dino's. So apologize to Dino.
Oh, D-I-N-O?
Dino.
Yeah. Dino and the boys.
Okay.
I mean, a brisket sandwich, from our friends down the road, Brian.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Oh, the Lodge, very good, man. Yeah.
Very good.
They do it right.
We DoorDash every once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Colossal Sandwich Shop in Bedford.
Yeah, I heard good things about it.
Really special.
Absolutely.
And call 214.
If you nailed a grilled cheese sandwich perfectly, I don't know what can be better. The sourdough, a little Gouda in there.
Yes.
Shout out to Grilled Cheese Co., man. We had a great time over there.
Oh,
the first Sandlot Charity Day.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Ice cream sandwich, says the 214. Definitely deserves some love if you're considering that. A breakfast sandwich on a biscuit or a crescent.
New Jersey created the breakfast sandwich.
Okay.
Jersey gets the credit for that?
Jersey gets the credit for that.
Oh.
Connecticut, the lobster roll, hot.
Yes.
Honorable mention. Maine, the Italian sandwich.
Yes, like please. Number 13.
With the cold cuts and all?
The cold cuts.
Salami and stuff.
California, the patty melt.
Oh, my gosh,
yeah,
dude.
The patty melt. Yeah. Yes. Texas toast.
In South Carolina, and shout out to Mr. G's Deli, which I think might make the best of these in DFW. South Carolina, the tuna melt.
Dude. Amen to the tuna melt. I am a huge fan. Where were we at in Oxnard when we left? There was that beach place you that we ate at, and I got the tuna sandwich.
Was it Neptune's Nest?
Neptune's, yes.
Pretty dope spot.
That was cool.
You got a huge catfish, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I ended up getting some kind of platter.
Oh, you guys stopped on the one?
Yeah. Stopped on the one. Yeah,
it was a ridiculous amount of food.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of food.
We stopped there on the rocks and just hung out for a while.
I was about to say, did Dawson have to pull over and check out and see if the waves were hitting the rocks?
He did. He went for a surf, actually. Yeah.
And then he said, well, somebody else needs to drive, and I'm kind of hungry. Anybody
we walked across the street. We needed you that day, Brian.
We went to Neptune's Nest. It was awesome.
I was glad to be missed.
Number 10, top 10 best sandwiches invented in America, in New York, the club sandwich at number 10.
Mm-hmm. How about... Okay, can I throw in my vote for anything from New Orleans?
Like the Louisiana. Po' boy number 9.
Yeah. Muffalata.
Yeah, the muffalata. I know you're a big muffalata.
Yeah, because where was the place in Grapevine? Is it Weinburgers?
Weinburgers. You brought outstanding.
The muffalata last year.
Yeah, I did.
It just gets overdone. The muffalata has just a little too much black olives for my liking.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Hold the black olives.
A lot of people, that whole thing, a lot of people don't like that on the sandwich, that making it that wet.
Mm. Give me a chicken cutlet sando, old Chuck.
Yeah, the chicken cutlet's fantastic. Florida, the Cuban sandwich, number 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Yes.
We got the California, the French dip, coming in at number 7.
California's known for the French dip?
Apparently California's the French dip creator.
Wow, I wouldn't have guessed that.
6 is New York, the chopped cheese.
You kind of thought it was going to be France, didn't you?
Okay, it's like a Philly cheesesteak, right? but it's with ground beef.
Okay,
it's not steak.
That's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
5 Tennessee, the Nashville hot chicken sandwich. Nashville hot chicken's taking over, man. I feel like every corner.
Get them Palmer's.
A new Nashville hot chicken place. Yeah, shout out to Palmer. 4 Texas, chopped brisket sandwich.
Yeah. Yes, please. Much that's better sliced, than sliced.
Sliced beef, yeah.
Number 3, Illinois, the Italian beef sandwich.
There you go. Chicago.
Like Portillo's.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like all the peppers and stuff on
yes,
it, though?
Yes, okay. I do.
Honestly, I don't know that I've ever really tried
I think the gentleman
it.
To my left would probably say no.
No?
I mean, nah. Okay. I like the flavor. Could you flavor it with that a little bit? Maybe cook it around there and pull them out before you serve them?
The sausage and peppers, man.
You kind of work it on the flat top and then separate them?
Yeah, there you go.
Number 2 is Pennsylvania with the Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak?
Yeah, the Philly cheesesteak. But number 1, the best sandwich created in America. We go to Nebraska.
Meatball Sando.
For the Reuben.
Ooh, the Reuben's good.
The Reuben is the good. Reuben.
469 says, try Texadelphia. Good cheesesteak.
I've never been to Texadelphia.
Yeah, I tried to bring you guys Texadelphia one time, and I don't think you liked them.
Oh, that wasn't, it couldn't have been me.
No, I think I did that. Because there's another place.
Couldn't have been.
That's
a different guy.
There's this Philly cheesesteak place by my mom and dad's house I pick up when I used to bring, and because I always get Dawson without the onions.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucius, you liked it, right? Didn't I? I bought those. Lucius, a Philly like cheesesteak place.
Oh yeah, they're fantastic. I really do like them.
Yeah. So I was. Yeah.
When are you gonna bring them back?
Yeah. Got a Friday. Okay. We got a Friday.
Well, thank you, Will Chuck.
Cheesesteaks. Here we come.
Thank you very much.
Top 10.
We're playing Philly. Why not?
There you go. Very fitting. Okay. College football super segment coming up next. We'll get some college pigskin action in here. Will Chuck, anything to tease?
Well, how about the Ponies? We got some takeaways from this weekend.
Up.
And Dan Lanning is doing it again. That's next.
Yeah, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Football's Finest coming up at 5 o'clock. Expressway at 5:20. We'll reset all the Cowboys breaking stories for you from throughout the day. It's time now for a college football super segment. It's starting to get real juicy as we're in November. Well, Chuck, what you got?
Well, let's talk about the team right up the road. The SMU Mustangs pony up as they absolutely dominated. Number 18 Pitt, 48-25. And now when you look at who's unbeaten in the ACC in conference play, it's looking like a collision course. SMU and Miami, the fifth-ranked Canes, and the SMU Mustangs might end up looking like they're going to face off in that ACC championship game later on this year. You had Clemson fall to Louisville 33-21, and now SMU is all the way up to number 13 in the AP Top 25. Tomorrow, I believe, we will get our first college football playoff rankings. Now, this is the first time that SMU's been in the top 15 since week 10 of the 2019 season. I have that from CBS Sports, but I don't know the last time that they've been ranked. Like, how high? You know, when were they number one? You said 1983.
Yeah. Oh no, they've had some moments. I thought they were up there. They beat Pitt. It's funny they beat Pitt and Dan Marino.
It's crazy.
Or Pitt beat them in the comments. It was something like that. But that I was kind of trying to remember the last time that Pitt and SMU played, and I think it was in the Cotton Bowl. But yeah, they've. Those Eric Dickerson and Craig James teams were ranked pretty
really high. Really good teams.
Yeah.
But this was a fun weekend in college football. 5 ranked teams losing to unranked opponents, including 3 that occupied the top 15 slots. Oregon still number 1. Georgia at number 2. Ohio State is at 3 after their big win over Penn State. And how about that finish for the Buckeyes? I mean, they just ran out the final 5.5 minutes of that football game. Penn State didn't have a chance. Miami is at number 4. Cam Ward, to me, probably going to be your Heisman Trophy winner, but we'll see how this thing plays out. Texas is at 5. Penn State fell to 6. Tennessee at 7. Indiana has cracked the top 10 at number 8, followed by BYU and Notre Dame. And then you've got SMU at 13. A&M falls to 15. After they get upset by South Carolina.
Did you say LSU in there anywhere?
Yeah, LSU is 14, so they're right ahead of A&M. So you got to clog SEC schools. So LSU at 14, A&M at 15,
so LSU,
Ole Miss at 16.
LSU has to win out, basically, to get into this thing. They have to beat Alabama. I'm just trying to think ahead here. I'm sorry.
Your guess is as good as mine. Yeah. The SEC seems very jumbled right now. I think like Texas and Georgia right now, probably the inside track to play each other in the SEC.
Yeah. But you know, LSU has one loss.
So LSU's got a shot.
Yeah.
If they win out, then they'll be a convert because I don't think they play Texas.
No, they don't. See, that's the thing about it. Texas plays Texas A&M, and if Texas were to lose that game, then you know. But LSU would have to win out to get.
And Texas gets Florida this week. Florida played Georgia very, very tough. Georgia pulls out that victory. DJ Lagway, who got hurt, their true freshman in that game, has not been ruled out against Texas. Le'Veon Moss, though, the outstanding running back for Texas A&M, suffered a season-ending leg injury in the loss to South Carolina. Mike Elko confirming today that he will be out for the season.
They missed him. They really, really did. But, man, give South Carolina a lot of credit, though, for the way they played that football game. There, I'll tell you, when we're watching tape, we start doing these segments. South Carolina looks like they got some defensive linemen.
I feel like every year they've got whether it's cornerbacks or
their pass rush is like tackles. One of the best in the country for sure.
That defense looks to be the real deal. But it was a fun weekend when it came to college football. Like you look at the storylines around the country, the top teams, man. I mean, them falling, Clemson with that big loss to Louisville. But I think the big story, Indiana, they continue to win. And unfortunately, the Huskers are really pooping all over themselves. Nebraska continues to just be an absolute just disappointment right there. They can't win a close game. If this thing's within a touchdown, they can't win it.
They're trying to get their guys ready to be New Orleans Saints, possibly, you know, preparing for the NFL.
Yeah, maybe.
That's how you go on a proper skid.
Well, Dylan Raiola is expected to play against USC. He came back.
That's another team that's really struggling, too.
USC.
God, those are two programs right now that are really they're leaking oil. They're leaking oil big time in a big way. But that was a historic victory for Louisville in Death Valley. That game was back and forth. And I think that you had another issue with the fans just throwing debris onto the field.
Yeah, Clemson.
They're at Clemson. They were thinking we can get a bad call taken away just like Texas did. It didn't work out for them. Next play, Louisville goes ahead and scores a touchdown.
Worth a shot, you know.
Texas fans are tastemakers. There was a Big Ten team that did it the last week or the week before, too. And the Big Ten didn't even do anything about it. The Big Ten didn't even fine.
There wasn't even a fining, huh?
Texas got fined.
They're letting you fight because the Big Ten also said, like, hey, Michigan State, that little fight that they had at the end of the game. Like, don't worry about it.
Right? Boys will be boys.
It's okay. You know, at least it was on the field this time. It wasn't back in the locker room. Like, nobody got jumped. We'll be all right. Projecting the top 12 college football playoff right now, Oregon and Ohio State seem to be locks. I think Oregon, Georgia seems to be a lock.
Man, Oregon. Oof.
Looks really good.
That's a good-looking team.
Okay, yeah. Dan Lanning, man, and I don't know that, like, you can pry him. Maybe he's one of these guys that just is going to be he's a great college coach, and he doesn't have aspirations of moving to the NFL.
Like Nick Saban great?
But, yeah. Like, Dan Lanning, to me, right now, I mean, it's hard to, like, Kirby Smart's got the track record. He's won multiple national championships, but Dan Lanning's on the short list of best coaches in college football right now. And for me, it could be number one. Every week, he's doing something that's just outthinking his opponent. So they come out in this weird punt formation where they've essentially got the long snapper lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Then behind him, like we're talking 3 yards back, they've got three more offensive linemen than the punter. Michigan isn't sure exactly how to line up. So what they do is, because you've just got the long snapper at the line of scrimmage, now they're lining up a defensive player over the long snapper. You can't do that. So they punt the ball. It's 4th and 4. Michigan gets flagged. Automatic first down, Oregon.
For covering the center?
For covering the center.
Yeah.
And now Oregon gets to continue their drive. But Dan Lanning, it's like every week he's got some kind of loophole that he's figuring out that nobody else in college football seems to be aware of.
And it's not just this moment. It's that he's looking at every single angle on how to give his football team a chance that you love. You know?
Yes.
If it's not a rules violation, it's a little technique. It's or, you know, exploiting a rule, it's a little technique. You know, I think that's what you're looking for. I would love it if we found out the Cowboys had Dan Lanning on a short list.
I didn't want to be prisoner of the moment here, but I am advocating for Dan Lanning to be on the short list. I would like to interview him.
Definitely would want to interview him for sure. And you've seen some younger defensive head coaches or defensive guys get head coaching gigs here. I mean, Seattle just took the Ravens defensive coordinator. So you're seeing it a little bit more. You just kind of have to ask yourself, do you want to have the guy that is the offensive minded coach that no one can steal your play caller? Because Dan Lanning, like, it's about to happen to Dan Campbell, and we'll see how he pivots from there. Where if he loses Ben Johnson,
he might
lose
both his coaches.
Aaron Glenn could end up getting that Saints job. I've seen him now with Dennis Allen being fired today. Mm-hmm. You know, Aaron Glenn has spent time in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And that could be somebody that they would look at to take over as head coach there. I mean, he's gotten interviews before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could see both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn leave. And I wonder if Ben Johnson would even want to interview for this Cowboy job.
I just kind of feel like that. Didn't we hear some whispers that maybe he was interested in that Chicago job?
Yeah, Albert Breer reported that last week.
Yeah.
And the Bears obviously didn't even flirt with the idea because they kept Eberflus.
They will now.
I don't think anybody's turning down the Cowboys job, you know. I just think the attraction of it is such that I'll take my shot. I want to go see what this is like. It's part of sports history. It's the most popular organization.
You know, you'll get 5 years. Is that what you're saying?
You know, yeah, there's that too. Yeah. You know, and if you can crack it, I think the glory is 10 times better than any other franchise.
I think that the big, there's a lot of questions on whether or not a good head coach would want to come here with the hierarchy, but you're also committing yourself to 4 years of Dak Prescott as your quarterback. Yeah. Would you rather, is there somebody else that you would rather attach yourself to?
Caleb Williams or something
right.
like that.
Well, exactly.
It's not only that, but you're attaching yourself to Jerry.
No, for sure.
And
that's
you talk about the glory. I don't think you're not getting the glory if you're a head coach here. That's why he's hiring the coaches he's hiring right now. Jerry wants to
Jimmy's
be the guy
pretty
that gets
famous.
That glory. Yeah, and since then, that was the last time Jimmy got the glory. And then Jerry got butthurt about it. Mm-hmm. So Jerry's wanted to prove I'm the guy. I should get that glory ever since. So, I mean, the only person that he hired, really, you could go back to Bill Parcells, maybe, that would say, like, hey, I'm not doing what you're trying to tell me I need to do here. But I think that that's something that it would run a lot of coaches off when they find out exactly how this thing's going. And if I've got an owner and a GM who's not really sitting into my meetings or anything that's going on and pretends that he's a general manager, but now I'm going to run down the hallway and tell you this is the running back receiver you need to go ahead and play. If I'm a coach that's worth a damn, I'm ticked off and I don't want to deal with that.
I think there is something to be said for that, like, you know, but everything we've heard is that, like, the biggest coaches would take it, you know, Belichick would take it. And I think the thing that's the good trade-off is you're going to be allowed to have significant influence in personnel decisions, you know. I don't know if a lot of teams give that. So, sure, I'm going to talk to the media and I'm going to say some things that, you know, you might not like, but you get to be a bigger part of the draft operation than almost any team in the NFL.
I don't think Mike's really part of the draft, but that's also maybe a choice for Mike.
I think it is.
That Mike didn't do that in Green Bay. So maybe, and Bill, that's another reason I wouldn't want Bill. Bill can't draft. Bill's not good with that. That's a big reason why New England started to go downhill. Tremendous mind, good coach. I don't want him as part of the personnel. That's going to be an issue. But yeah, maybe guys that have already been there and have a track record, they don't have anything to prove. That's why you don't end up getting these young up-and-comers that come here and want to interview or get the chance to be interviewed.
Yeah, I think Jerry wants a guy he knows he can trust. And in the process of interviewing those big ego guys, I think Jerry would be the one to say, this is not going to work, you know?
Which is a problem.
Yeah, it was a big problem for Parcells, It was not a problem for Jason Garrett at all because Garrett had been here so much.
Knew how it worked.
And he was such a beta leader that he was more than happy to let Jerry set the tone on several things.
I also think a lot of these coaches can probably fetch more dollars from other organizations. I don't think Jerry wants to spend a bunch of money on a coach.
I'm with you. I mean, that might be part of the reason why Mike's still here and he didn't want to pull the trigger on that.
And I think as well on that, though, check this out. I think Jerry knows he's going to change coaches. He doesn't want to hire the new guy to start the rebuild. We're going to let the old guy finish out the rebuild so I don't have to pay two guys. But number one, we don't want to start the new guy off in a bad foot as far as momentum, you know, as much as we can avoid.
Which job you guys like the best? Dallas, Giants, Chicago, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Vegas, New Orleans.
I think I'd probably go with the Giants.
The Giants?
Yeah. If I'm a coach, I think I'd rather go to the Giants.
I think the Cowboys' the best job in there.
I think that Chicago job, if that opens up, if you believe in Caleb Williams, I think that's a pretty talented roster.
What do you think, Brian?
But the hierarchy of that is also very dysfunctional with that organization.
I kind of feel like that. I feel like that to me, it's between the Chicago and Dallas situation right now. I think I would take Chicago.
Young quarterback, got it going on.
Yeah, and build that offensive line and go from there.
I do believe organizations lose a lot of games, and you're looking at loser organizations in Cleveland, New York, and Chicago.
I don't know if I want to deal with this Washington quarterback anymore. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in this division, and maybe the Giants figure that out too. Now you're dealing with Hurts, and you know you're maybe these quarterbacks in this division might be a little tough for you if you're coming in, right?
Be really interesting. We are just a couple of months away from having a full-blown discussion and hopefully coaching search here conducted by your Dallas Cowboys. In addition to the finest coming up next, Chief, where are you taking us?
Yes, among other things, we'll have more Cowboy takeaways featuring the decent, the bad, and the disgusting.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.